Joining us now is David Dinoon, who's a professor of politics and economics and director of the NYU Center for U.S.-China Relations from outside Philadelphia, where I suspect he might be grateful to be this morning. David, Professor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. We wanted to talk with you because China on Christmas raised its interest rate, a key interest rate, which caused markets to scratch their heads a little bit. I'm not so much interested in the timing of the interest rate rise, but is it the case that China is signaling to the world that it is as concerned about inflation as anything else going on in the economy? It's also raised its minimum wage to help workers keep track of rising costs in China.
Well, I think the Chinese are trying to balance out several different objectives. They clearly want to keep growth rates high, so they're not raising the interest rate by much. But they're recognizing that they do have an inflation problem. Many forecasters think inflation in China could get into the 5 to 7% range in the coming year. And they clearly want to avoid that. They want to avoid it for several reasons. They are worried that workers on fixed incomes are going to be irritated. And secondly, it produces other distortions in the economy. So the interest rate rise itself is a relatively normal move. The problem is that they have this very seriously undervalued exchange rate, which is an economic stimulus. So they're actually doing two contradictory things. They're trying to slow the economy with the interest rate move, and they're keeping the exchange rate too low.
And this is the curious feature of what's going on in China. We also had the announcement this morning that they've sharply cut their rare earth metal export quotas, which has an impact on commodity markets around the world. This raising of the minimum wage for workers addresses political instability inside China because you can't allow people to get too far behind inflation. Does China have the ability to really control this situation? We saw the yuan hit a record high on its sort of vaguely liquid trading markets in response to all of this just overnight.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I think is the motivating factor for the leadership, and it's a collective leadership. These are decisions made by large groups of people over long periods of time. Their basic incentive is to maintain growth rate, to maintain employment, just as you mentioned. But they realize that they need to keep exports going to keep the pattern of development that they've established going. And the problem with this is that the rest of the world isn't going to absorb Chinese exports at the current growth rates indefinitely. So they have to begin shifting toward internal sources of growth and raising internal incomes. Those are difficult things to do. It's hard to make those shifts. You have a very good question. It's not clear exactly how they're going to pull that off.
Right. And the, I mean, I guess the other emerging markets that are doing particularly well in the last year or so, are they forcing China's hand on any of this? I mean, certainly 5 years ago, we could say that China kind of had the territory to itself. Mm-hmm. Not so today.
Yes, I think that's true. On the other hand, the Chinese have a lot of advantages in terms of really high-quality infrastructure, things like ports, railroads, airports. They have a pretty good power system, and they're way ahead of their competitors on sort of the low-wage side of the market. They're way ahead of, say, Vietnam or India. But the Indians have certain other advantages. The Indians have an even bigger pool of low-wage labor. The Indians also, at the high end, have things like software development and some kind of a range of scientific advances that the Chinese don't have. So you have to look country by country to make the comparison.
David Dinoon is a professor of politics and economics and director of the NYU Center for U.S.-China Relations. And let's talk about the U.S.-China connection here. If the Chinese were to get particularly paranoid about inflation or take much more aggressive action against inflation, what would be the most immediate impact on the U.S. economy?
Well, the first thing is that as interest rates went up, it would be increasingly difficult for them to keep their exchange rate low. So as the exchange rate rose, that would actually be better for the U.S. in the sense that we could probably sell more in China, and they would have trouble selling their particular goods here. So that would probably be a plus. The question is how severe the inflation was, and did they have to jack up interest rates very high? Under those conditions, if growth rates in China slowed down, then our exports to China would decline or at least slow in rate.
I know you don't buy this theory that this was sort of a quiet move on Christmas, attempting to do it sort of under the radar, but I'm wondering if there is some sensitivity on the part of the Chinese in that by raising interest rates, they're basically admitting what Timothy Geithner has been saying and what President Obama has been saying, that they can't keep their currency this low.
Well, I would say economists understand that. Certainly the general public in China has not been informed of that. And you would have to have some familiarity with economics to understand what your point. I think what I would call the attentive public recognizes it. But this inconsistency between having a stimulus from the low exchange rate and the restraint from the rise in interest rate is common for governments. I mean, look what the U.S. has just
right.
done. We've had a big stimulus through cutting taxes, and yet people say we're trying to deal with our deficit.
And the scale of what China is doing is much smaller than what we've done in terms of the amount of spending we've done on stimulus here. Their stimulus is more natural. Before we go, can you comment on this rare earth export quota situation? China really controls this market, and it's a factor in so many different industries around the world.
Yes. I think they have in the past felt it was politically to their advantage to be a supplier. Now they are acting more like a monopolist. So there are many other places in the world where rare earths can be found. The problem is that it takes 3 to 5 years to get a mine going and to get the refining process going. So we could have inflationary effects in the global economy as a result of that.
It's interesting. David Dinoon is professor of politics and economics and director of the NYU Center for U.S.-China Relations, talking about inflation in China, global worries, and global interest in what's going on there. Thanks so much, professor.
Good. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.